So the name of your new recording is Testament. It's the complete sonatas and partitas for solo violin of Johann Sebastian Bach. And the music is so intimate, and the project as a whole obviously is very personal to you because testament is a powerful word after all. And I'm wondering if you can tell us about your history and your relationship with Bach and his music.
Yeah, well, I first experienced Bach's music in my church growing up. You know, the organist would play toccatas and fugues as prelude music, and the choir would sing movements of oratorios, and there was actually, or I should say there is, a stained glass window of Bach in the sanctuary, in among the usual things you would expect, you know, characters from the Bible and so forth. So Bach was a very important part of my childhood, and I first played Bach on the violin myself as part of worship when I was 4 years old, and, you know, I just been playing his music ever since.
When did you start playing this music in particular? Have you played it for a long time?
Yeah, I first started doing various movements when I was in the single digits, and then, of course, finished up when I was a teenager, young teenager, and then did the Bach International Competition in Leipzig when I was 17.
It's interesting that this music has been around for a very, very long time, yet extraordinary performers such as yourself come along and you bring something fresh and new and interesting to it because it seems to reflect not only the genius of Bach, but also the personality of the performer.
You're absolutely right, and there was a very unexpected phenomenon as I was preparing for this CD. Honestly, I hadn't done a lot of listening to others' recordings in many, many years. And in terms of studying the music, you know, I really just studied the scores, studied the autograph manuscript, studied a lot of music that inspired Bach, you know, the earlier music by German composers of the previous generation, writing for violin alone with multiple voices, such as Westhoff and Bieber, music by Italian and French composers that Bach knew and studied, which inspired some of his stylistic choices, like the Partita No. 3, which is clearly paying homage to a very French musical language. But, you know, in preparing for the recording, I thought, well, I'm going to listen to some of my colleagues, both dead and alive, and see what they do in terms of interpretation, both the macro and the micro, you know, what tempo, what nuances, you know, all the decisions. And sometimes it's not so much stealing anybody else's idea, but by listening to what other people do, it helps me refine and define, you know, what I've decided to do. So anyway, I expected to go through a similar process with the Bach. And what I found is that it was almost pointless to listen to anybody else play because each person was so individual that it was like nobody else's ideas made sense to even think about because that was them and I'm me. And I just need to instead spend that same time most, you know, deeply figuring out how I feel about this music. And that was a very different process than with any other repertoire I'd ever recorded. So I think that really says something about the specialness of this music.
You touched a little bit on your scholarship and the amount of time that you've invested in really researching this music, and I'm wondering if there's anything in particular that you discovered during the course of your research that has affected or changed how you view this music or how you approach it.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I've really crystallized, in the near past was just fully embracing the Frenchness of the third partita and being, you know, sort of unafraid to do what I heard with it, including, you know, many people may be surprised. I don't want to use the word shocked, but, you know, probably surprised to hear what we call the petite reprise at the end of the Gavotte en Rondo, which is a reiteration of the last half of the last phrase, which is very typical in a French movement like this, to do that last little, kind of like a little tail. It's just such an obvious, you know, thing that you would almost automatically do. And it just felt right to do it in Bach. And yet I've never actually heard anybody else do that. But I'm convinced by it. I don't think it's, you know, I'm not going to say, well, everybody should do this, that this is the right way to play it or anything like that. But for me, this is what works. And sort of finding that out and deciding to do it, even though it might be a bit radical. I mean, who knows if it was radical for back then, but it's certainly radical compared to what people do now. But
right.
I wanted to, and so I did. And, you know, that's that.
For people who don't necessarily know, can you just talk a little bit about what these pieces are themselves? I mean, we have sonatas, partitas. Did Bach create this as a single piece to be performed all together? Are they exercise-type pieces or learning pieces? Or can you just introduce them for people who don't know?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's so interesting, the sort of journey that this music has had over the centuries. Written, of course, around 1720, and Bach was a very capable violinist. His father was a violinist, and the violin was Bach's first instrument, and a lot of his earliest jobs had significant violin duties, and, you know, he might have been a, you know, renowned keyboardist, but he was no slouch at the violin. So it's, you know, very probable, if not, you know, just obvious, that Bach, of course, would have played this music. This was not a didactic exercise of music composed for the page as some kind of an intellectual exercise. You know, people thought that for a while. They thought, well, this isn't even playable. He must have just written it as sort of a theoretical opus. Then people realized, okay, it is playable, but it's probably not concert music. It's, you know, maybe etudes or something like that. But maybe they just weren't, you know, sort of keying into the real interpretation that could be found. And so it was really not until Joseph Joachim, Brahms's collaborator, at the end of the 1800s, 150 years later, that Joachim said, hey, wait a sec, this is music that deserves to be heard and will be loved if heard. And, you know, so he started playing it in concerts. Where did Bach play it? Well, the church sonatas, the sonatas de chiesa that he calls sonatas, that was a form of sonata with a slow movement, a fast movement, very often contrapuntal, another slow movement, and a fast movement. Those were called church sonatas because they were considered appropriate for playing as part of worship if you so chose. And no doubt Bach might have so chosen if he wanted to, you know, mix it up a bit, not play just the organ all the time. The dance movements, of course, you would not have played in church. But it's interesting that even Bach's secular music has, you know, such a feeling of joy and you know, just a sense of faith in it, no matter what. And so even his Frenchy one, the Partita number 3, somehow is not just, you know, a sort of worldly French dances like a real French composer might have written. There's still Bach in there, not only in terms of his musical style, but in terms of his just profound sense of, you know, making music for his creator.
It's remarkable how this music, centuries old, is still influencing and shaping violinists today, certainly yourself included in that. But what I also find so interesting is that you're playing on an instrument that was alive the same time that Bach was. At least they crossed paths a good 8 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your Guarnieri?
Yes, well, I am very privileged to play 1742 Guarneri del Gesù, known as the Ex Bizzini Ex Soldat, in honor of two of the great 19th century violinists who used it as their primary concert instrument. I've had it since 2002. And, of course, it has been modernized. In other words, when all of these great Guarneris and Stradivaris, not to mention Amatis, were made back in the 1700s and even 1600s, they would have been made as Baroque violins, meaning they had a shorter neck, shorter tailpiece, neck set at a lower angle with less tension and strung with gut. It was at the end of the 1700s that all of the existing violins were modernized, or most, I should say, and then new violins were made in the modern style, basically making them louder and more projecting. And the Guarneri is a fabulous concert instrument for the big violin concertos of the 19th and 20th and now 21st centuries. And yeah. I'm glad that it has been modernized. I have a Baroque violin, a Galliano, that I use for period instrument concerts. But I chose to record the Bach on my modernized Guarneri because that's the instrument on which I most frequently play the sonatas and partitas, because you know, I'm bringing them with me for concerto encores or for mixed recital programs with not just early music, but a little Bach, a little Beethoven, a little Brahms, whatever's on the program. So I'm usually playing Bach with my modern violin, but I do change up the bow. It's like, you know, choosing, I'm not a golfer, never golfed in my life, but, you know, the analogy is apt, you know, to choose the right iron for that shot, right? So you choose the bow that's going to work best for whatever piece you're doing. And I use the Baroque bow on the modernized antique violin, and I find that it brings me 90% of the way there in terms of the tone colors, the articulations. It allows me to have a sweetness and yet full energy, and frankly makes a lot of things just plain easier. All of these dastardly triple and quadruple stops that Bach asks you to do that we struggle with. In fact, the Baroque bow just swishes across the strings in a much more natural way. And I almost feel like whether or not you're, you know, kind of delve deep into Baroque historically informed performance styles like I have, even if, you know, you basically don't care about such things and don't really do much with that slice of the repertoire, I feel like if you're going to play these sonatas and partitas, why the heck wouldn't you just have a Baroque bow in your hand? Because otherwise you're working twice as hard for half the result. but it's a good combination that I feel brings the music most fully to life.
Well, I mean, you make it sound so easy, though, when we actually listen to the recordings. It belies the fact that you've put so much work into getting to that point.
Well, that's the thing. You almost have to transcend the music. And, you know, the interesting thing, for example, the fugues, which are just incredibly dense. In fact, and here's another, you know, feather in the cap of the violin world, Bach's longest fugue that he ever wrote was not for organ or harpsichord or ensemble. It was for solo violin, his fugue of Sonata No. 3 in C major, his very longest of all of his output. And that's a real compliment to the violin and what it's capable of. But it's just this incredibly dense piece, this amazing achievement where he does all these wild things with the fugue theme, turning it upside down and inside out and, you know, just going into as many as four voices, and it's crazy. But yet, it's almost like you practice it and practice it, and then you actually have to not think about it when you're playing it. In other words, not think, okay, now here's the retrograde, and here's where this voice enters, and, you know, now I have to shift to second position and make sure that my four is in tune. It's like you don't even want to think about the analysis or the technique. You just want to experience the story of the piece, and that's why I think this is great music, because it's this amazing academic achievement that is somehow so much more than the sum of its parts. It takes you on this incredible journey, and you feel just this sense of fulfillment at the end of it emotionally. Thank you.
You're releasing this on March 21st for Bach's birthday, 331 years young. If you could wish Bach a happy birthday face-to-face, what would you say to him?
Oh, goodness. You know, normally I play my birthday variations, but I would feel a little intimidated to play anything that I had composed in front of the master.
Yeah.
He'd probably be expecting a fugal version and not my silly Paganini variations. But I guess I would just say thanks, just very simply.
Yeah, and I'm sure that he would be grateful as well.
Well, I would. I know what I would do. It would be exactly like Wayne's World. I'd be like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Violinist Rachel Barton Pine, whose latest release is called Testament, the Complete Sonatas and Partitas for Solo Violin by Johann Sebastian Bach. You can learn more about Rachel at her website. That's rachelbartonpine.com. And we'll link to the recording from our own website at wgte.org. Rachel, congratulations again on this new recording, and thank you for joining us today here on FM 91.
Thanks for having me on.